Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Marketing and Business Identification. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-hosts,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings and assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal. Oh, doing pretty good today. Looking forward to a wonderful show this evening.
Welcome to another edition of our continuing after the commemoration of Black Wall Street, you know, a very similar program last week as to where those who went to get commemoration about the event, and of course we found out everything we need to know in the center and everything else, I suppose, that goes on in Tulsa. It has nothing to do with African Americans having anything at all to do with it. Matter of fact, looked like the Greenwood Avenue or Greenwood District or the business district is taken over by Caucasians in its entirety. So the entire community and when it started, it's going on every day. So I guess, and we, many of us, witnessed that for the first time in 100 years. And don't look like it was a very welcoming reception that they received. But that's my opinion. Of course, I wasn't there. But for those who were, you know exactly what you heard.
Right, absolutely. Terrible happens there.
It seems
like this month in particular, Brother Bilal, there's been more Black history on than during the month of February, when it was Black History Month. The information that came out about the... Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, I say, the information that's come out that I've seen on these different... Oprah had a two-part series, which ended yesterday. And then the other Black Wall Street series that's been coming over by a number of different groups of people. The photos and films, they show live footage and all that, brother, it's appalling. I mean, appalling.
Yeah.
You know, for something to be put on like the worst incident in American history of rioting and that, and of course, of racism, period. You know, destroying that many blocks, brother.
Yeah.
And the thing about it was, bro, it was open. I've seen pictures of people... On the back of their pickup trucks, they were taking stuff out of the Blacks' home, brother, putting them on, looting them before they burned them down. They showed signs where we running niggas out of town. All that kind of stuff. And, I mean, it's appalling. You know, they should be ashamed, surely ashamed of themselves from everything that was seen that they have records of. I mean, blatant, clear records, bro. And it was like probably the worst case of racism in this country, besides, you know, slavery and the worst of the events that took place, not to forget about the other ones, you know, the Rosewoods, the Wilmington, Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware was so atrocious. I mean, Wilmington, North Carolina was so atrocious, Brother Bilal, a duly elected mayor, which was a black man, in a majority city council, duly elected, was just, they said, forget about that. We're just taking over because we don't want them to be in charge anyway. They just went in there and started killing people. Threw over 300-some people in Wilmington, brother. It was, I mean, you know, cases like this all around, and we're saying that not only for the better of African-American people, but for the better of America, this type of stuff, it must cease. It's a must. You know, and with the former president that we had, Donald Trump, he seemed to have lit a flame for this kind of taste of this kind of behavior to be coming back. And I really don't think that a lot of Americans, brother, it's a 50-50 thing right again, you know. So this may be a good time for us, even better now, to do business with you. You know, the stuff has got to be clear what's going on out there. We got to be able to see what's going on. And we pray that, you know, and hope that our people will take those blinders off their eyes and see why it's so necessary for us to do business together, to empower one another, not others, but one another, empower our people where we can have the protection that we need to have. Money is just as much protection as a gun is itself, too. You know, money is just as powerful as a gun, maybe more powerful. But we got to learn those type of things, sir.
Well, Brother Aziz, we simply have to understand, forget about the gun. That cannot be the answer. Although we do need to protect ourselves, but as far as saying the gun is the answer, now we we're talking about shooting and killing each other. I mean, I know that's going on. But if that was our solution, then we wouldn't do nothing but continue to shoot and kill each other. We must have a better solution.
Right,
oh, no. I understand exactly what. No, I'm just elaborating on what you're saying because what you're saying has its merits. But at the same time, because we're living in a very violent time. We're living in a time very violent because you start talking about good and bad, and you don't know who's good and bad. Racism, those who consider themselves good forget about being good because racism is bigger than being good to them. Racism, I suppose when you say it's a way of life, and I don't know how to explain what that means, a way of life, but again, you know, you take, I take my time because I like to think, and I know that there are these so-called folks who say that they're white, there are some good folks out there. But again,
yes.
When you start talking about there are some good folks out there, and then you look at how do these good folks who call themselves white, accept themselves as being white, where's their good at when they was raised as a racist, when they believe in racism, when they believe that they're superior to others simply because of the color of their skin, and they came up in a time where, you know, they was owners of everyone else that wasn't white. I guess what I'm saying is, how do they overcome this and be a good person? I guess my question is, can we be a good person or good people? But I know there's got
well,
to
you
be.
They've openly got to stand for right, brother. They've openly got to stand with right, for right, and with the people that are standing for right. Because it's too long that they know wrong has been happening, but they lay back and don't say nothing. Because, I don't know, maybe it's to keep that identity, you know, that so-called white identity.
My brother Aziz, not only do they lay back, but they believe that you could tell him, excuse me, you could tell them a lie. But because that lie appeals to white supremacy, or their white supremacy, they'll go along with the lie and they will enforce a lie, even to the point of killing folks.
Yeah.
How do you deal with anything that you that is righteous or good when you will accept falsehood?
Yeah, so correct, bro. And that's really, you know, that's what they accept, as opposed to doing what's right.
Yeah, they will. I mean, the lie, and but that lie appeals to my white supremacy. Therefore, I will accept the lie, and I will go out and do harm to others because I am going to accept this lie that appeals to my white supremacy and my white supremacy belief.
That's why I say we know, that's why we know, brother, that doing business with one another is stronger than any weapon they can use on us. That our weapon alone, doing business with one another, creating economics in our own community, brother, that's where we'll be moving up to the head. And we won't be no small number like we know the small number of people in America that do control the country, that do control the media, that control the politicians and that. We know who those people are, but we could be more powerful than those people in every way that they are, and more. Because doing the right thing and standing with right and doing business with one another, we can't fail. We can't fail, but it takes courage to do those things. It's not for someone that's weak and want to continue being a slave. A slave not only to materialism, but to a slave to somebody else, you know, when you could be an owner, a part owner, if not an owner, of a business or of economics or someone in your family by just doing business with one another. It's a struggle, and we're going to get to it because we're going through some tumultuous and momentous times right now, but they're good times. The good times for blacks doing business. I mean, really good. It's just that we would like to see more blacks into the trade industry that we know. We know blacks that are in the trade industry, the building, the bricklayers and the plumbers, you know, the carpenters and all this and that. We need to see more of that in our community where it used to be when we were younger, because we now... Not that I'm a social scientist or I'm criticizing anyone else, but we see where integration harms black people more than it helps them. And the reason why it harmed us more is because we truly lost the identity of helping oneself. Because when we were segregated, we had to help one another. So it became a part of our everyday life that we did these things like this. As soon as segregation came in and we became something that everybody was coming at us. Everybody was coming at our, the African Americans' business, because they knew it was a big business. And as we've learned today, I don't remember, Brother Lyle, I think you said 1.7 or 2 trillion or something like that, that we generate in buying power, spending. We don't know how much we've saved, but it wasn't close to what we spent. And equal to the fourth largest nation on the planet, it is nowhere in the world if that kind of economics was turned within that what actually we would be nothing but bosses, not based on slavery, just for the fact of our economic wealth. We would be owners of a great majority of the business, a great majority. Just think, it's a handful of Asian people, Japanese, Chinese, that live in this country, and the kind of businesses they have brought forth, and the big kind of economics their community has in their small numbers. And the second largest group behind the African Americans, the Latino community, they're growing, and their businesses are growing.
Brother Aziz, everything,
yes.
You know, what you're saying as far as these, and you're absolutely right, but at the same time, you see, when you start talking about $1.7 trillion consumer spending there, yes, there's no doubt that African Americans bring in a lot of income. They bring it in, but that money does not stay into their communities. It only comes
through their communities.
It does not stay in the communities. It cannot stay in your communities if there is no economical development. And the reasons there is no economical development in the African American community is because of redlining. The federal government instituted this. So again, anytime you have a situation where your own federal government has started an association called redlining, and that redlining was to intentionally keep capital monies out of the African American communities. So again, because of redlining and capital not being able to come into the African American communities, then that's our reasons. Now, you take, like you said, your Asian communities. The reasons you have an Asian community is because Asians now can come in and they can start a community or go in the community, but there is no redlining in the communities that they're in. The Hispanics are the same thing. They can buy their homes and what have you. There is no redlining, so they can build equities. This is because now African Americans have paved the way, but it was our hardship, and it's still our hardship, and it's still discrimination that has kept us from advancing, and I'm not saying just overnight, have kept us from advancing for over 100 years since World War II. And when they instituted and started the practice of redlining. And like I said, this was intentionally done by the federal government and all the state and local governments and all the white communities. You still, like Oklahoma, we were just talking about the Greenwood District and how they built barriers and bridges and all kinds of things to separate the black communities from the industrial part of most communities. So redlining has caused our communities to fall financially behind everyone in this country, because they have devalued our communities. But at that same point, you're saying, and you're absolutely right, now is a good time for African Americans to realize that their communities is a good place to start new, to start businesses in the communities because of that huge amount of spending that we do, and having businesses directly in the communities, that huge amount of spending that we do spend do not now have to leave the communities. This is how the dollars stay in the communities, is business. And yeah, so doing business in your own communities, that's what you want, your own black communities, and putting business in your own black communities as fast as you possibly can. And you do this by becoming community invested with each other. Try to belong, get into business groups, network with each other, find your interests, and as groups invest in interests, but most of all business right in the black community, and now your communities will become valuable. And what else can be get rid of praxis from being the disease, economical disease that it is in our communities. So it's the way that this country has directly seen to it that we as African Americans just do not grow economically, and we stay in poverty, and we keep on robbing and shooting and killing each other, because that's what poverty brings on. Mm-hmm.
Yes. One of the things, Brother Bilal, in our efforts that we've been doing for a while now is, there's no other communities that have programs on or blog radio shows that come on telling their communities about doing business with one another. It's just something that's automatically done. There's no TV programs or radio programs come on telling the Chinese to buy from themselves, or the Indians, or the Latinos to go buy from their own businesses and that. They go over there with joy and perhaps meet somebody they didn't meet before, or meeting a business person. We're the only ones out there that are struggling every week and every day that we have the opportunity to try to promote African-Americans doing business with one another, as well as going into business together with one another, and see what the benefits are behind doing these things. We're the only ones out there. The African Americans, again, are the only ones that's spending their money like someone that doesn't know where to put their money, when, you know, there's so many ways to make life better for us overall. And again, that is doing business with one another, networking, and buying from one another. And the more and more I see it, Brother Bilal, this is something that, when you started this program, I was a little leery of it, but because I didn't think, you know, do any benefit. But I see more and more, if it's just one lighthouse out there on the bay letting you know, don't come near this because it's shallow waters. You know, don't come to this area because it's shallow water, your ship will wreck. You need someone out there, or somebody, and a number of entities that's out there that's constantly talking about doing business with one another in our community, because if we don't, you know, our community won't survive as a people. We'll be scattered out like the sands on the desert when it comes to having anything, owning anything, or being a part of anything that's about us. And there's nothing worse than not to have some type of identity. Not to all try to be identified as someone else or with somebody else. You know, we have our own identity. It's just our foreparents, the example, the people that built that Tulsa Greenwood area community, that built that, the bricklayers, the carpenters, the real estate agents that helped buy that land for the people in that. All of those people, they didn't do that for art, for naught. To set an example like that, to be flourishing like that, and we lay back, and our community has just been turned docile, don't want to rebuild something like that. As our brother Harris said, build that in every one of our communities around the country. Where we, because the areas, as you just said, Brother Bilal, already redlined, so they done already made the properties cheap. So, good. Buy that property. Put businesses in the community. The value goes up every time we start improving that. What they thought they could redline, no, it ain't redline. You can drop it however you want. The community is a good community, a beautiful community, and people can see it when they come through. So you can do whatever kind of pricing you want. We don't fit in that category. Whatever we sell a house for, real estate in this area, that's what we're asking for. And these things are not going to happen until, you know, the time that it happens. But what we're doing out here trying to help make it happen, that's an honorable thing, a real honorable thing. And I'm glad to be a part of that, daily calling out to our people to tune into the program, to let us know who you are, tell us about your business, and become a part of this New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. Let us know, the community know, the world know who you are. Becoming a member of our organization, you get exposed to worldwide audience. And, you know, you can't get along, but the opportunity to meet different African-American businessmen, to network together. You know, it's one thing buying products from one another. As they say, buying black. That's a good thing. But in that process of buying black, you also want to network together with others. You know, we may be able to, I may have a store as a businessman, and I see something that you're offering, whether it's in D.C., you know, Cali or what, California, Michigan. And I call you up and say, you know, I see a product that you have, you're carrying. I'd like to know, how can I get it in wholesale over or sell it on this side of the country? And then, you turn me on to it, or maybe something that you distribute in terms of you distribute it yourself. So, you know, these are just all of the benefits that we're trying to let our audience know out here, to all your listeners know, that these are all the things that you're going to get from just participating in one another. You know, you go to the church or the masjid or the temple or the synagogue, and you get that religious spirit. You get a good spirit from that. Also doing business together. All of our religious leaders and teachers, they all had businesses. They all dealt with businesses. They that's one of the things they taught about, not only having businesses, but to do business in a fair way. Give just measure to your business, whatever it is. So business is a part of everyday life. And all you got to do is look around you, all the stuff that you buy. So, you know, doing business with one another is even better than going everywhere else and buying it. I remember when we used to have the black African-American drugstore where you can go in there and get your medicine. With somebody African-American in the drugstore and all the little needs and necessities you had to have. But again, that was because of segregation. And we had money in the community then. A lot more in some instances than we do now, but the community was smaller also. So if we're to continue to grow with that type of same mindset of doing business with one another, and not that, and along the way, we've seen that we've had some shabby business people in all aspects in that. Call them out. Tell them what the problem is. If you don't get it resolved, then, you know, it's a community issue that should be resolved in terms of we address that business owner or stop doing business with them based on that level. Should be more than one of us in the same kind of business in town, in every town, because it's just that many of us, especially in these big cities. So there is a value of networking, and we know there are small groups out there that do that, primarily generating out of a lot of the big, huge churches. And we know there are certain business activities. We're talking about activities where all of us are involved, and that's what the New Africa Business Association is about. All of us in this diaspora here in America coming up from slavery. Again, you know, that's what the New Africa Business Association is about.
You certainly made some very good points, Brother. One of the biggest emphasis, and I agree with you 100%, is that every African community should have business, and you should have business meetings along to PTA meetings and other meetings that you have in your communities. Business should be added to that agenda. You should have business meetings in your community and seeing how you can start developing businesses directly in the African-American community, because that's a wonderful place, and it's an affordable place to start your business. It is right there in your own, in the business where there are no businesses. There is only income, and of course that income goes out of the community because there are no place for the community to spend monies with each other. So your monies just come into the communities and you take it, and it goes out to the business owners who are about 5 to 10 miles away from you. And of course those are communities that are started the redlining with you, so they so you're forced to bring their money, your monies to them. So we need to put ourselves in a position where situations where just where we're not forced to do anything by anyone. And so politics plays a very important role in our business and economical developments. You have to include politics also, because in order to have your communities and be able to govern your ways in your communities, you have to be able to implement policies. And the only way you're going to implement policies is by having the power of voting and exercising the right to vote. And as you can see, voting is something that we have to keep a close eye on, because you're dealing with something now very dangerous. When you start talking about taking away the vote from a democracy, then you no longer have a democracy. And this country is based on 100% democracy. We have nothing else but the vote in our Constitution that governs us. And if you have a peoples in this country that think they can change the democracy to be in just their favor, and they can rule and govern it, then that's not a democracy. That's a dictatorship. And white supremacy is showing in that insurrection that they just pulled, and believe me, they're ready to do more. Is that they are going into the power of just of taking and having the insurrections to demonstrate their way of life. So voting is I never really truly meant Malcolm's last speech that he wrote just before he was assassinated. And the title of his speech was "The Ballot or the Bullet." And once you really read or understood some of his speech, "The Ballot or the Bullet," that's what we're facing. I mean, it's more relevant today than it was when he wrote the speech. But that's what we have.
Exactly.
Is look like it's going to be the ballot or the bullet, because again, there is no other takeaway voting, and you don't have anything but a bullet. There is no ballot. They have destroyed the ballot. They have destroyed our democracy. So we're living into some real serious times. Our mics are open this evening.
Yeah.
Anyone who is coming on the stations or anything of that nature, we're going to open the mics up for your conversation so you can join in. And those of you who wish to participate, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. So, Brother Aziz, we are going to go and open up our mics for those who are calling in and listening, and they can share in their comments, and we can all talk about this together, because like I said, as African Americans, of course, like I said, Brother Aziz, business is our objective, business is our success, but right now we're living in a time where we feel, I would say, family, a family and our communities. And so, again, we open our mics up. Anyone have any comments about the commemorations that went on last weekend and with the commemoration of Black Wall Street? Or if you just have a business or any kind of political questions, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right, Brother Aziz, look like we'll leave our mics open to those who wish to interject or come in at any time they want to. We welcome their comments. But, I'm sorry, go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
I was going to say, as I think we had talked about it before, reminder of that this month is Black Music Month, and this month is honoring all Black musicians in America and the music that they've made over the years.
Mm.
So as part of the Black, this is part of Black history. This month is Black Musicians Month, so we'll be hearing about a lot of different African-American musicians and music, they created, it's on a BET and HUR TV also. They had Sam Cooke on and told about his whole life history, how he come up and all that, so they'll be going through all of the African Americans that you and I knew from way back when, and I guess up to some of the modern ones too, latest ones.
Yeah.
But that's something to throw out there to our listeners, that this is nationally recognized Black Musicians Month.
And also, Brother Aziz, let all of our listeners know that at the 8 o'clock hour, that's when we'll be switching over to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and also Dallas, not Dallas, Texas, but Texas. And we'll be going to our standard time. And we say it's our 8 o'clock time, but really it's our 7 o'clock standard time. And so our show will be taken over by our brothers and sisters out in the standard time zones. So as you can see, the New Africa Business Association from Network Marketing, we have started here on the East Coast, but we're now on the standard over on the standard time and also specific time. So we have our networking have paid off to where now we are in communication, and I think some of our audience that we let on, Brother Ashley, is keeping a lot of noise. They need to go on mute. Maybe we have to put some of them on mute because they got some disturbance going on. Hold on, let's do this. Hold on. I think that took care of it right there. Okay, good. So, Brother Aziz, that's letting our audience know that we are on until 8 o'clock hour. We will be our brothers and sisters.
8
down
o'clock our time.
8 o'clock hour. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, Eastern Standard Time is 8 o'clock. Our show will end, and that's 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And at 9 o'clock our Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, the portion of the New Africa Business Association will be aired out in that time zone, in the Central Standard Time Zone, as well as the Western Time.
Make a long story short and make things in other words, 8 o'clock will be Dallas, Texas, and Oklahoma. The brothers and sisters from that area will be taking over the show from 8 until 9. And we'll come on from Washington, D.C., from 7 to 8. So you can stay on for so our show is just a continuation. We don't go off. We do not go off the air. We just merely welcome our brothers and sisters out in the Eastern Standard Times at 8 o'clock, and we will continue to talk until 9, so we'll continue to network with each other right on up until 9 o'clock, and that way we're networking with the Eastern folks on the Eastern Shore and then folks on the out in the Midwest. And
assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam.
How you brothers doing this evening?
Very well.
Good.
I'd like to let you and your viewer, listening audience, know about a new series that's coming on Fox Epic Network.
Yes, sir.
It's a newcomer, a black sister, a newcomer by the name of Alana Bright. She's set as a lead opposite the actor, Miss Yaya DaCosta, as well as a well-known actor, Mr. Maurice Chestnut. And it's in a Fox drama series. And the name of this series is Our Kind of People. I repeat, the name of this series is Our Kind of People. And it comes from a dynamic background in that the writer and executive producer is Karen Giff. She's done a number of black films. And by her side, the lead director is a gentleman by the name of Lee Daniels. You may recall Lee Daniels done the series The Butler. He also done the movie about 12 Years a Slave, and he put some pretty dynamic pictures out there. Lee Daniels is also the person that was behind the drama series on Fox that was entitled Empire. So this young sister, 17, almost 18 years old, has gotten a break, and she's from a really great family. In fact, if I'm correct, Mr. Abdulaziz Shaheed is her great uncle. Is that right, Mr. Shaheed?
That's right, Mr. Akbar.
Okay.
That's correct.
And I wanted to let you and your listening audience know to be on the lookout once again for the epic series on Fox entitled Our Kind of People. And we really appreciate it when African Americans have the opportunity to get on that screen and present some of the issues that are existing in our community today. And it's also an added blessing when you're akin to some of those people. The last thing that I would like to inquire about, if you will, or Mr. Bilal would like to speak on, has there already been or is there an update on the Black Conference that was supposed to take place in Montgomery, Alabama?
Yes, that is upcoming. And that's going to be in Selma, Alabama. Brother Aziz, you have the date and information on that. I'm trying to look it up real quick, but you may have it in front of you.
Right. It's going to be on the 18th and 19th of June in Selma, Alabama. And June 18th, 19th in Selma, Alabama. And the way you can get information about, and the way you can get more, information on it, the dates have been confirmed for the 18th and the 19th of June. And that the way you can get more information about it, as they gave out the email group, is www.airegroup. That's airegroup.com/events. And
could
that will put
that,
you
please?
On time. Yes, that's www.airegroup.com/events. And that will give you the information about the whole thing.
Thank you so much. All right, that's www.airegroup.
No, Airee.
Airee.
Oh, yeah.
Is that B as in boy or D?
No, E is in Edward. Edward.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, A-I-R, Edward. That's E-E.
Uh-huh.
Somebody got some terrible noise in the background. That's just, man, I can't even hardly tell.
Man,
I got it.
A-I-R, A-I-R-E-E. Group, GROUP, .com/event.
Got it. Thank you so much.
And brother, what date is the event's going to air? Our Kind of People. What date is that due to air?
I don't know exactly yet. It's
okay,
coming up in the
okay.
fall.
Okay. So that's an upcoming event. Okay. Well, hopefully,
yes,
okay, we can stay informed on that, and get to see that also.
Yeah.
Like I said, brothers and sisters, this is exactly the commemoration of Black Wall Street. And where do we go from here? That's our title. But it's open mic, so anything you have to say, whether it's political or whether it's business-wise or any comments that you have to like to make, our mic is open and we welcome your comments.
All right.
Okay. We'll make them smile.
I got a lot of static. You probably get it from my static. You don't know how
far. I think you're making a lot of static noise, brother.
That's
right.
I'm going to call you back on a little line.
Okay, we can hear you pretty good.
Okay,
we can hear you pretty good.
I know. You getting a lot of static from me?
I'm not hearing it now.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm hearing a lot of static.
Yeah. There's somebody needs to be on mute. But I'm going to try to keep all the mics open so we can, because it's open mics and I don't want to miss nobody's comments. So I'm trying not to close the mics on anybody. So again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. What else can I say? We welcome your comments. All right, Brother Aziz, I think in about 10 more minutes we should be getting our standard time, folks, coming on. But in the meantime, we need to just like keep on putting the emphasis on, like I said, African-American businesses is the best place in Hold on. Let me find out who's doing this to me. Well, that person is not doing it. I'm gonna find out who's doing this to me. And like I was saying, before this person interrupted my thoughts, I was my emphasis is that, again, our 8 o'clock show will be coming on, but, you know, from Brother Aziz, from what we got from Tulsa and those who went to Tulsa, seems like white folks have taken over all of Black Wall Street. They do everything, but they use Black folks to promote it, but all the monies and everything else, they even got grants that are being paid millions of dollars for white folks to tell a Black Wall Street story or to commemorate anything that have anything to do with Black Wall. So we're going to be going back to Black Wall Street, but it'll be when we are in a position of much more power, especially economical power. So again, our mics are open. We welcome our New African Business Association. Welcome your comments. Okay, we still got a quiet audience, Brother Aziz. But I do want to say, as far as Selma, Alabama. Now, Selma, all of us should be asking and inquiring of how do you go down and take a tour, a business tour of the business ventures that they're doing in Selma, Alabama. There's some great opportunities going on there, but at the same time, we're missing out on some great opportunities because we're moving real slow on the Selma investments. But again, this month, Brother Aziz, just give you the date. but you need to be in Selma, Alabama, looking at this business tour. And this business tour is going to tell you, show you the example of what we mean when we're talking about buying businesses directly in the black community. Because Selma is going to be the first place where you'll see African-Americans becoming vested, financially vested with each other to buy that city. And like I said, it's most African-American communities, you're going to find it's a good investment to do the same thing in all African-American communities that you're seeing being done in Selma, because it's cheap to put businesses in African-American communities. The cost is low. And we know the amount of money that comes from our community. So again, to put businesses in our communities, it really, really pays to do so. But I would, again, suggest that you be in Selma to see these investments and how businesses, how powerful the black dollar really is. So again, our mics are open. I ask some of you to please put your phones on mute because you are disturbing the entire station by not putting your phones on mute. So if you have something to say, take your phones off of mute and speak. But if you do not have anything to say, put your phones on mute and allow others to speak. Again, our mics are open, and I welcome your comments.
Hi, my brothers and sisters. This is Paul from Columbia, Maryland. It's time for me to pay my membership. Should I call someone or should I go online?
Again, this, who am I speaking to?
Paul from Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, okay. Brother Miller?
Brother Paul, P-A-U-L.
Oh, Brother Paul, how you been? We haven't spoken to you in a while.
Yeah, I'm working very hard. Soon I will share with you the results of my work.
But now, ask yourself, Brother Paul, did you go to Tulsa?
I was in Dominican Republic opening a restaurant, so that's why I didn't go.
Okay. Okay, well, listen, now we're glad to hear from you. Very glad to hear from you. And as
okay,
you know,
how do I pay my membership?
Okay, you go on New Africa Business Association, and that's New Africa Business ASSOC.com /URL. New Africa Business ASSOC/URL, and then when you go in, just go to membership. And membership,
thank you.
You just go in there and let me know, because we then send us some information on yourself so we can put you in our business directory. And if you have a business display, we want to put you in our shopping center. But we want to, once you become a member, we want to make certain folks know who you are. So again, we welcome you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And I have a great project for next year. I shared it with Sister Stone already, so I will share it with you soon if I have your email.
Now, Sister Stone should be coming on here pretty soon. If she, Sister Stone, are you with us yet? Okay, they should be coming on. They'll be taking over the show at 8:00. So
I would be there.
Okay. But anyway, they should be coming on around 8:00 to take over from 8 to 9. But in the meantime, we welcome your membership and we look forward to your coming on and continue to network with us, Dr. Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
have
sir.
A good evening.
You take care. Take care of yourself. Okay. So again, we welcome Brother Aziz. I don't know if we have anybody on from Oklahoma or anyone from Director Stone's office. If so, then Dr. Stone or Ms. Williams, we welcome your comments. Okay, Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz, are you any comments from you, Brother Aziz, at this time?
Yes, I was going to say, I know Brother Paul has information to share about his business ventures, you know. Like he said, he opened a restaurant in the Dominican Republic, but, you know, wondered if he made any progress on up there in the Eastern Shore, you know, wanting to.
Well, I think Brother Paul is still on. Won't you go right now? I think he's still on. Brother Paul, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
And Brother Aziz wanted to ask you some questions. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz. Brother Paul is on now.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you're willing to share some of your adventure, you know, business prospects with us, is things going well up on the Eastern Shore project as well as your restaurant in Dominican?
Okay, I opened the first one last December. I went to visit last month, and what happened is that it was too small, and now I'm opening a second one in a place where they have a lot of toys. So actually, I'm buying the equipment. It will be open in the next few weeks, the second restaurant. But for the housing project, I have someone who was supposed to coach me or help me. That person died. That was Mr. Elijah Cummings. So now I have a brand new project. I shared it with me sister Stone already. So I'm gonna propose to build the houses in the 7th district of Maryland, and I will be running for Congress also next year to make things happen.
Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, you have to come on and keep us informed to let us give you all the support we can.
Yes, it's with you. Yes.
I think
Sister Stone read my document already. So I'm going to propose to the brothers and sisters not to give me money, but to invest in the project with them.
Excellent.
To build the cheapest houses. And Sister Stone will be coaching me to make it happen.
Yes. Well, we look forward, to hearing from you. Did Director Stone or Ms. Williams, did either one of them come on yet? Anyone from the Oklahoma area or Texas area, are you with us? Okay. Well, like I said, our mics are open. I'm sorry, Brother Aziz.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's good to hear that Brother Paul is advancing on some of his projects, and knowing that Sister Stone will be a worthy trainer, you know, helper.
Well, Brother Aziz, it just goes to show. 2 years ago, we was all just introducing ourselves to each other. So it goes to show what you can do when you the network. And like I said, look at the distance. We're here in Washington, D.C., and you're talking about a Maryland. You're talking about Dallas, Texas, and you're talking about Oklahoma. All of these business folks, and many of them have met each other. Not only have we started networking and getting to know businesses and stimulating each other's businesses, investing in. See, this is what network marketing and business identification is all about. The New Africa Business Association, like I said, our objective is, we only have two objectives. And one of them is to identify business and then network with businesses so they can get to know each other. That's all
right.
We are about.
Yeah.
And we're saying the same thing that we have started here in Washington, D.C. We want to start New Africa Business Associations all over the country. And so in every community, you will have a business agenda going on because, like I said, the best place in the world right now is to put a businesses right directly in the black communities, right there in the communities where there are no businesses going on whatsoever. That's the best place
in the world
to put for an African American put his business. And I'm saying put in big business. Because again, we're one of the biggest group spenders in this country. $1.3 trillion, and I'm sorry, $1.7 trillion in consumer spendings last year. $1.7 trillion. If we did businesses in our communities and kept those funds in our communities, man, look how many millionaires and billionaires there would be, and look how many Black Wall Streets there would be in this country. So again, the best place in the world at today's time is for African Americans to build businesses right in their communities. And this is something that now we can see and do because for many years, because of something called redlining, white folks wanted to make certain that we couldn't build businesses in our communities because they wanted to make certain that there was no equities in our communities. And by not having equities in your communities, then you have a devalued community. But no, our communities is extremely valuable. When you see that we're spending more than $1.7 trillion, my goodness, keep that money in your communities, and you're probably one of the richest communities. You are one. Look at Black Wall Street. Look at that destruction and why that destruction went on. Because African Americans can show we don't want to be better than anyone, but at the same time, we ain't second class to anybody either. And it's because of that first class appearance that we have. That's what caused that commotion. You have these folks who say that we are supposed to be inferior to them because at some point we was owned by them as slaves, or whatever that's supposed to mean. But I know today, again and again, as far as the African Americans' freedom, it is economics. Economics and politics, that's what we need to make certain that we are in control of in our communities, politics and business. So again, open mics, I'm generalizing, I don't have all the facts, but like I said, if you look at the network marketing that's going on between African Americans and the New Africa Business Association and our network marketing and business identification and how that identification have bought on the productivity that we can show right now. So Dr. Paul and of Dr. Stone and so many, many others things are being done. And like Selma, Alabama, these are the things that are going on, and it's not going to stop. Selma, once we buy Selma, we're going to be going out here buying. They say they got 156 black communities that have been identified for a redevelopment growth, and this growth is being, and the monies is coming from our own, we are each other's asset. We are each other's cash. We are investing because we're becoming financially vested with each other to build not only Selma, but many, many other black communities right in the same black communities you live in because your community is very, very valuable. And so again, our mics are open, and we welcome your comments. And especially anyone, Director Stone or Miss Williams or anyone from the Oklahoma area, Oklahoma or the Tulsa area, we certainly welcome your comments because we're still trying to get the entire picture of what went on at that commemoration. So, again, our mics are open, and, again, we welcome your comments.
Yes, Brother Bilal.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a comment about African American History Month and how it ties into Black Wall Street and the positive business production of black businesses, in that there are a number of black music genres that have been exclusive to the black or African American community here in America. Gospel music was founded by the slaves primarily in conjunction with the Underground Railroad, how they passed messages on. Rhythm and blues, R&B, rap, are two other forms of black music that was exclusively came out of the black community and are generating billions of dollars in money for the black community. However, we are not the exclusive owners of those outlets of the music. A number of musical black African-American groups and producers have to work through the major record companies. The rap community, underground, hardcore, urban rap, gangster rap, as well as trap rap, are exclusives that came out of the African-American community that are generating money. In order for them to grasp or capture the majority of that money and let it work for the community, we have to also focus on developing our own sources of outlets, our own production companies, so that we could be an Arista Record, so that we could be the name brand music companies that can show that we have that $1.7 trillion in business and money that comes through our community. We have to start capturing that. We have to start capturing it from the aspect of production. We have to start capturing it from the aspect of finding new artists and presenting them to the community. We have to find it in terms of concerts and promotions. This past year, year and a half, due to the coronavirus, many of those venues have stopped. Right now is a great time to open them back up because a lot of the country is beginning to open back up, beginning to have these concerts. So that music genre is a, by it being where it is at today in the 21st century in June of 2021, we are the major promoters of that music outlet that is known as R&B, Southern Soul Rap, Southern Soul Blues. We know that from the past, many of the songs that were produced, that produced millions and millions and billions of dollars, were originally written by black people. Little Richard spoke about how he produced songs that Elvis Presley made way more than he made. So we have to be cognizant enough to copyright our music. We have to be cognizant enough to have it copywritten and have legal backup to capture that money. Do you know that certain songs cannot be played on the radio or the TV unless the owner of the rights to that music is paid? But during one era or period of time, just take our music and redo it, and they had the venues to put it on the radio, to put it on wax. So these are some of the aspects that we need to look at, not celebrating it, but celebrating it through the through the aspects of capturing the funds, capturing the money, and letting people know that this is exclusively black, these forms of music.
Brother, you know, you got a serious point there, because, again, that is another market. That is a market that, like you said, that is bringing in a huge amount of monies. And once it went to rap, now even the Caucasians now are trying to find a way as to where they can now start capitalizing or capturing that particular market. But that, see, what you're saying right now is another reason as to where studios needs to be built right in black communities, right there where the black man lives, right there where he breathes, right there where he walks. That's where you need to build your studio, because by building it right there in your communities, now you got the captive, the ones who present this music, but then too, now you have control of everything that music is presenting. But as long as you're out here dealing with the Uptown and these folks who've been ripping you off for the longest time, that's what I mean about the black community is the best place in the world right now for black folks to put their businesses, right in that communities where you can be in control of everything. And yes, indeed, music, but especially the rap music, is the monies that it's bringing in. But again, because we're not our studios and what have you, to keep all of this to be right in our communities, that's where we need to be doing our business. I am going to ask you, brother, because this is a sort of a new topic of business, but it's a big topic, that you come on and present yourself a little bit more often. Because, again, one of the things about African-Americans, we do not have that many channels of communications as to where we can talk about these things. That the New Africa Business Association, we are a very small entity, but we're going to do what we do and present what we can present. But in the meantime, I would ask you to participate with the New Africa Business Association to present and promote this market, because it's a huge market, but it's a market that African Americans need to invest in right in their community. And it's an investment that the community needs to look into, because, again, the talent is right in your own homes. And you can see the kind of production this talent is presenting. So, brother, what is your name again? Let me get you written down here so I know who you are.
Yeah.
You don't know who I am, but I'll...
Okay, now, just did. Go right
ahead. Listen, one of the major aspects in capturing finances and being able to build that musical empire and capture the majority of those finances is copyrights and patents. We have to be more cognizant on how to copyright our music, how to patent our music, and how to have it registered. This was the big downfall from the beginnings back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. It started with what was known as the old Negro minstrel shows. Back then in the 20s and in the 30s, what was known was burlesque and Negro minstrel shows. And they were, these blacks from the community would come in and they would entertain. And from that era of time during the 30s and 20s, there was what was known as the Chitlin' Circuit. The Chitlin' Circuit was a circuit in major black communities, Harlem, Washington, D.C., various other venues where blacks were allowed to come in and perform. So once the white community during this era period of time in the 20s, 30s, and 40s saw the proliferation of money that was being made by these minstrels and black burlesque shows, they started, and you may recall if you are if you're 60 or older, that what happened was that you had well-known white artists began to start putting smut on their face and covering their face up to making themselves look like they were black. This is an example of how our music, our original music forms were being stole and being utilized to make money, wherein the old minstrel Negro shows and burlesque shows would just get the money from the venue. They wouldn't capture the other outlets from the venue, such as the music, such as songs. Little Richard, back in the 50s, had a song called Tutti Frutti. And he used to say, oh, Tutti Frutti. Elvis Presley came along and sung that song, and everybody to this day thinks that he was the author of that song. Mm-hmm. Elvis Presley also sung a song known as Don't Step on My Blue Suede Shoes. It's a factual and historical fact that Little Richard wrote these songs. And he produced these songs and sung these songs, but other white counterparts who had the money and who had the image that was more acceptable to America made the most money off of it. And many of our black older musicians died broke and poor, and their songs and their music, by not being copywritten and patented and registered, these songs are being paid to the music companies who jumped on board. So I would be glad to come on at some other point in time and speak about this particular venue. And but as I said, the first step would be understanding how you copyright music, how you patent it, how you're able to gain the monetary rights to that music.
Any questions
I'm
for
coming from, brothers?
Oh, and that matter of fact,
is this Brother Kelly?
Go right ahead, Brother Kelly. Any questions?
No, I was asking, what's that Brother Kelly?
Me?
Yes, brother.
You're referring to me, brother?
I don't recognize your voice. This Brother Aziz.
Yes, Brother Aziz. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, brother.
This is your brother.
I don't know why I can't. Huh?
This is your brother, Suleiman.
Oh, okay. I couldn't recognize the voice.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think you two brothers still don't know who I am.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I walk side to side and shoulder to shoulder with both of you.
Yeah, long time. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of the fact.
This is the type of information we've always shared with each other. You know, we that's what makes us brothers, is because we've always been fierce, and we've been this way for years. And like I said, any questions anybody have for Brother Suleiman?
Yeah.
If so, you can go ahead and ask the questions while we have him on the phone.
While we're waiting on the questions, I'd also like to say that Brother Aziz and Brother Bilal, you both are a great asset to the community, not just your local community, but by and large. I run into people all the time that talk about Blog Talk Radio and the connections and the networking that it has. I would like to thank you, and I would like to pray that you guys continue to do this. You may not see all of the people around, or you may, because you have the venue, but a lot of people are especially happy with what you guys are doing and how you're networking. That's why I was asking and talking about the program that's coming off in Selma, Alabama, this June 18th and 19th. That was going to be a tremendous help. It is things like that that bring us together to help us capture our financial base and help us to move forward into this 21st century, which also I would like to mention that it is important that we, too, become more vested and aware of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is rising daily. And I know you guys probably have spoken on this subject before about Bitcoins and investment in Bitcoins. Have you not?
No.
Yes, we're familiar with the investments, but like I said, it's another business opportunity where by networking with each other, you're going to find that there are many, many business opportunities that we can learn from. So again, I don't know.
Well,
I was going to just suggest, Director Stone or Miss Williams, are either one of you with us yet? Okay, anyone from the Tulsa area, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, are any of you with us this evening? Okay. Again, we do have our open mic. So our open mic is that anyone who has a subject that they wish to bring up, or again, anything they wish to elaborate on, our open mics, we welcome your comments. All right, we got a big audience, Brother Aziz, tonight. But look like we have a quiet one. Any comments that Brother Aziz that you would like to make about Tulsa or anything maybe that we've missed?
No, I was interested in something the brother was saying about the Bitcoin and the investments that are being made there. I've read up on it quite a bit. It's some rapid money that's being made at the time, and a lot of people making money off it. And you can lose some money on it, too, quick as you can make it. It's a risky thing, but people are making money on it. And that's a good thing. You start out small. Yes, sir.
I would like to ask from you and Brother Bilal, have either one of you ever considered a prepaid accounts under the name of New Africa Business Association? And let me qualify that so you'll know thoroughly what I'm saying, which captures Bitcoin. Prepaid debit cards, Visa, MasterCard, etc. You have businesses such as Cash App, PayPal, Vino, and the list goes on and on of organizations that have prepaid debit cards. You can either have your monthly, weekly check pre-deposited to that account, routing an account number, and it will come into your account. It's just like a bank debit card. Also, those cards are connected with the Bitcoin family, and they will allow for investments and purchases in various different types of Bitcoins. The New Africa Business Association, if they would explore that possibility, people could actually have bank debit cards with the name New Africa Business Association on it, because you are a business association and you would be able to capture some of that money. Right now, the prepaid debit card industry is a $27 billion industry. 27, that's $27 industry. $27 billion are being used in those prepaid business cards. What is it? Net Spin, the Rush Card, Cash App, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some of you may right now have one of those cards in your wallet. They're used to pay for things. They're used to draw cash. You can even take these cards and you can swipe it and have funds moved around. And they are everywhere. And this industry is captured solely by predominantly the white community. But they allow buy-ins if you have people who are willing to invest, and they back it up with banks. And these banks are also funded by the Bitcoin industry. You may remember some of the last time that Director Stone was on your new Blog Talk Radio with you guys, that she spoke about Bitcoins and how she spoke to the fact that she had been to a conference in understanding Bitcoin. She brought this up. So that might be a good idea also to approach her and see how, if possible, New Africa Business Association could invest in some of those prepaid debit cards. You don't have to have a financial base. You have to have a banking institution, and you are a broker. And what you allow for is people that in your association to get this card, and their monies are vested, their monies are stored in legitimate FDIC banks. And you receive a portion of that because of your copywritten name on it. And people feel good being able to go somewhere and pull out their MasterCard or their Visa card and throw it on the counter. And at the top of it, it says New Africa Business Association, Washington, D.C. So I encourage you guys to look into and see whether or not it is that avenue through which New Africa Business Association in the Washington, D.C. area and around the country could utilize. And again, Director Stone spoke about this.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
Thanks for the information. Like I said, any questions anyone have, the mics are open. Your questions are welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Suleiman, for sharing it with us. And we'll talk to Director Stone about that. And that's some information not only may be of value to the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., but also be valuable, like you were saying, to people throughout the country, that listen to the program and get that information.
We do want you to know that coming up on Selma, Alabama, in the business tour that is going to be going on the 19th and the 20th, is that the exact date, Brother Aziz?
No, it's the 18th and the 19th of June.
The 18th and the 19th. And as you know, that's coming up real soon. It's right around the corner. But the investment for that business tour is $25,000. And so those of you who may not be able to reach the floor, that's the minimum, and that's the floor of the investment. And those of you who may not be able to match that floor, the New Africa Business Association has been given permission for their members to come in at $5,000 a $5,000 investment, but they need groups of five because the floor is still $25,000. But by coming in through the New Africa Business Association and you make up a group of five and each one of you put up $5,000 in that group makes up the floor of the $25,000. And we can start as many groups as we want. So again, we have group A, group B, group C, or what have you. You can come in, but in order to come in, you would have to be a member of the New Africa Business Association. And of course, you can become a member of the New Africa Business Association by going to the website and go to the New Africa Business Association .com, and that's New Africa ASSOC Association, New Africa Business Association, New Africa Business ASSOC .com/URL. and just go to our membership app and just join, and you will become a member of the New Africa Business Association. As far as the $5,000 investments, do not send any monies to the New Africa Business Associations. We're not accepting any funds. The only thing we take is a pledge, and that pledge, your name is sent down with everyone else's name, registering you for the tour in Selma, Alabama. Brother Aziz, you can give them again the information as to where they can register for that tour. But like I said, New Africa Business Association, the only thing we ask for is a pledge that you are willing to pledge $5,000, and that will get you registered and get you a part of the business tour that will be going on in Selma, Alabama. And, of course, this is where we're proposing to buy as much of the city as we possibly can. But I can tell you right now, Caucasians have found out about that, and they're back down there now buying Selma back. They abandoned the cities, but now that they see that we have an interest in buying our properties and owning our own black communities, they are now back in there buying as much of the Selma, the city of Selma back that they had abandoned. But hopefully we will buy and put our investments together and buy as much of that city as we possibly can. So again, any comments that anyone wish to make, or any information you need on Selma, our mics are open. And Brother Aziz, you can tell them how they can sign up for the event.
All right. What the group left us behind was their email address, and that email address, for those just listening, is www.airee, as in Edward, airee group, group.com, with a /events, events, events. And again, repeated, that is www.airegroup, and that's airegroup.com /events, events. And this will let you know about the program as it's going to take place those 2 days, what the itinerary will be, and how you can get registered and everything you need to know, as well as a virtual tour also. So it's going to be a big event down there, because from what we've been informed, since this has been taking place a few weekends ago, a large gathering of Caucasians came down to Selma, and they just bought up a whole lot of property. Not that they're going to do anything with it, but they bought it up to slow down the African Americans from buying property in the Selma, where it could be a majority when it comes to the real estate holders, as well as a start in businesses, because we're talking about a downtown district. We're not talking about houses in the neighborhood or something like that. We're talking about a downtown area wherein business and commerce is taking place, and wealth is being built. So this is going to be something interesting to do. But however, the AIREE group, AIREE group, they also not only investing in Selma, Alabama as a startup, but also they're recommending not only what they're doing in targeting 150 some other cities in America, but people can individually form groups in their own cities and begin to do the same thing in these underprivileged areas as well as these impoverished areas. that have been redlined, as Brother Bilal said. So, yes, with the right-minded people and, you know, putting their finances together, in a great number of these big cities where we have blight in the African-American community, we could do better and not only take over those communities and do business with one another to a great extent, but absolutely build model communities. And that's something that we aspire in the process of investing in community projects like this, building model communities all over. So that's some of the information that we that I have right now to share with that, Brother Bilal, and what's going on down in Selma. I don't know if we have anyone on that I would like to have any questions or comments.
As-salamu
alaykum.
Welcome, as-salam.
Yes, sir. This is Sister Rahima in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Pray everyone is doing well.
Yes,
that's so interesting because, you know, our venture in Tulsa was very interesting this month. And one of the things that we had really planned was a workshop on buying and selling. We had a lot of questions. There was a brother named Paul Miller who was supposed to come up in Houston. But he was so overworked in Houston, he got sick and wound up in the hospital. So and wasn't able to, he couldn't even do the a virtual to send to us but, so that we could play it at the local college. But as you were speaking, Brother Aziz, I was thinking about how we have to know what we're doing before we try to start buying or selling. For example, I have a friend who just sold a house. She has a house that she bought from a lady who built it from the ground up who was born there and her mother was born there, and they were Hebrew Israelites, so they never had any pork in this house. And she just sold the house for $82,000 along with four lots, two bedrooms, a garage. She has a garden that she's been working on for years. She had elderberry. I just went yesterday, got some elderberry, some chard, some garlic. I mean, I was just so, and she knows I'm upset with her because she had a black realtor friend that she could have got to handle the thing, but she got a white person to handle it because she figured she could get more money. But $82,000 for a house, I mean, I just wish I could send you pictures. A garden, a garage, four lots. I mean, I told one sister, I wish you told me because I would have gone and bought the thing right now. I mean, it's so many. You know. And then there was another brother who has a house. He was in prison, evidently. He had a stash somewhere. So when he came home, he built this gorgeous house for his mother. Well, the city let him build a house, or the state, whoever, let him build a house. And then after he built it, they told him that he couldn't live in it because the money was ill-gotten money, and so he lived about 10 years outside of his house in a what do you call it, a mobile home, because they wouldn't let him live in the house. I turned this in to I think Elder Simpson, somebody in Black Wall Street USA, at the IRR program. They were supposed to look into it. I don't know what happened, but I drove by there yesterday and I saw that the mobile home was gone. It looked like some different people were in there. But it's just that because we don't know. Now, like Brother Paul Miller, who's supposed to have been coming up, he was the one who founded Habitat for Humanity, I understand. And then that was wrenched from him some kind of way. You know how they do. And so he started his own activities, and he's operating out of Houston now. Very, very hardworking brother who works with Director Stone. So our people need to know how to buy. I mean, one lady, I went to a store, and she was upset because she took somebody downtown they went downtown, said they were going to sell their grandmother's property because they were tired of begging for drugs. So they figured they could get enough money to satisfy their drug habit. I mean, there's so much that our people need to learn, and that is one of the things that we had planned for Tulsa this year. And like I think Brother Bilal, I think you or somebody mentioned that you weren't sure about finding a hotel. They said all the hotels were taken. Yeah, all the hotels were taken downtown. But we had two extravagant hotels up in North Tulsa that were not expensive, where people could have lived, but I mean could have visited or stayed. But I didn't have the funds or the resources to communicate this out, to all the things that I needed to communicate out. So we've learned a lot, and you know I'm very interested in what's going to be happening in Selma. And a lot of other towns similar to that, similar to Tulsa, the gentrification is going wild right now. So I thank you for letting me share this. I'm going to cut this off before I take the time. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Sister Shraima. We appreciate that. We also appreciate the report that you guys, because like you said, we may have been disappointed in the commemoration and the things that we had planned to do, and we found that we couldn't do. But actually, Sister Rahima, you told us right from the beginning of what we were dealing with, and it took our coming there to learn, because sometimes you don't believe that folks can be as cruel and as mean as they are until you actually meet them. And so we have met, and in other words, the commemoration that we expected in Tulsa for our brothers and sisters and the destruction that went on, we have not had that commemoration yet. That wasn't done by us. And but we will be having the commemoration, but we'll be having it when we're in a much more independent and more powerful position to have that commemoration. Right now, the power is in the hands of those folks, those white folks down there that call themselves Black Wall Street. So again, we will get back. But in the meantime, We learned so much, because remember, we just came together. This is our second year of knowing each other. And so so one thing that we know we can do now from our network marketing and knowing each other, we can have our conventions now wherever we want to. And we know we want to have our conventions right in African-American communities. Selma is one of those that we had on our agenda, and now we're working on our plans. But we're going to continue to come up with plans as to where we will be meeting in certain cities, certain communities, to have our network marketing and our business identification, and have our communities to come together whenever we want to. So we'll start planning at this point on where we'll be going next year, and have but we know now that when we go, we will be going to make certain that our money stays into the Black communities, and our programs will be done by us and no one else. So we learned a lot, and from what we have learned, we will just grow from it. So again, I feel real good about what we have accomplished in such a short period of time. So we should all be very glad. And like I said, this is our beginning. Let's grow from what we have. So so Sister Rahima and your organ and everybody else that's been working hard on this, we ask you to work harder to continue to grow. And every Wednesday, Now we have a two-hour program, one that starts on the East Coast at 7 o'clock, then at a standard time it goes out into Oklahoma and Texas and places like that. And then if we have to, we will put a new time on, specific time. But we're going to continue to network market and identify businesses with each other and grow businesses in our community. And the biggest thing is we have to think in terms of growing businesses jointly as a community, as large groups. And we have to start always realizing the best place to put a business is right in the Black communities. Uptown, not downtown, right there in the Black communities where there's no businesses and where folks try to put red lines in our communities to keep the businesses from being built there. There was a reason they tried us from being in business, and now we know what that reason is. They don't want us circulating our monies with each other. So, again, what they want is none of our business. It's what we want. So, again, the New Africa Business Association, let's keep our association going, and let's keep on planning. And not only, we don't have to wait a whole year because in some situations we could be meeting each other right away because someone has come up with a wonderful idea as to where we need to come to Tulsa, Oklahoma City, or Dallas, Texas, Washington, D.C., New York, wherever we have to go, we might see an opportunity where we may have to be there. And like I said, Brother Paul Miller and Director Stones and many others, Brother Samuel Harris, all of these brothers, they're going to be coming up with ideas as to where we may have to act immediately as a group. And so that's who we are now. We are a business group. Network marketing and identifying businesses in our communities and doing business with each other. That's what our objective is. So, again, we have about 5-10 minutes. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
As-salamu
alaykum. Wa-alaykum salam.
I just wanted to say one of the positive things that came out of what I discovered actually was that there is a group of people in North Tulsa who already were already doing that. They already had their own program set up. Some people went downtown and dealt with that, but some of them every year. Every year they put on programs right in North Tulsa and they weren't trying to go downtown. The other beautiful thing I saw, like the survivors got kind of hung up with the going between the mayor and the president and all of that. And I had a couple of people who were supposed to be with me. They wanted to go downtown and see Biden. So they went downtown and couldn't even see him. He didn't even come out and talk to the people. The only people who came out and talked to him was Jesse Jackson. And the rest of them, they had to stand outside and pull the president up on, they couldn't even get in the Guerrilla Cultural Center. They had to stand outside and watch him on their cell phones, which they could have done at home. So they were very disappointed. But the mayors, the mayors of the diaspora and Mother Blakely, these people met in North Tulsa. They stayed in North Tulsa. They did not try to go downtown and catch up with anybody. It was so wonderful to see them handling business. So I'm going to try to get that a report condensed so you can see what they have gotten. The other, like I said, they are the two things that the mayor stayed and concentrated on, the Black community and the Black people who live in North Tulsa concentrated on doing things in North Tulsa. And if we'd had that in the beginning along with some funds to set up everything, we would have had a very successful time. But it was a great lesson, and I'm like you, Brother Bilal, I'm very confident that it is going to get even better. thanks for letting me share. So I'm awakened.
And thanks so much for that information. A very informative. So as you can see, it's the information sometimes that you don't have, because as far as North Tulsa, that's just information that we didn't have, and it's unfortunate because, again, we could have planned our events around North Tulsa, where we knew that money would have been going into the African American community. But like I said,
right,
there's nothing to say that we won't be going back to Tulsa pretty soon. If not Tulsa, then summer, again, the committees will decide where we should be going and where we're not going. But wherever it is, our objective is to network, market, and identify businesses
right
in our own community, and bring and keep
right
the black dollar in our own communities, especially when we go to these conventions, because again, the last thing I want to do is go to any kind of place and say that I just spent $2,000 or $3,000, or white folks have gotten my money again. I just don't want to do that no more. So again, like I said, we're learning. And we're going to hopefully advance from what we're learning. Our mics are still open. We got about 3 more minutes before we be at closing. But remember, every Wednesday, join us with the New Africa Business Association, Network Marketing and Business Identification, and pass it on. Because we need to really, really grow, because, again, our objective is to grow businesses now in African-American communities all over this country. And Tulsa, Selma, Alabama is our first example. So, again, our mics are open. I welcome your comments. Brother Aziz, first we'll take any comments. If we don't have comments, Brother Aziz, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we're going to close out. Any comments?
Yeah, I have a comment. I'm from Reagan.
Well, Reagan Salam.
You
know, we talk about building model communities and doing all this. We don't even have a neighborhood. If we take over a neighborhood, then maybe we can take over a city. But there's a neighborhood that we can at least take over and influence. It's called Anacostia.
Mm-hmm.
You should start at home. The prophet said, charity starts at home and spreads abroad. You start where mm-hmm. you're at. And then you move out. If we live in Selma, Alabama, I can see that. But we got to start where we live at, and then we can go and do other things. I can see we don't even have the money to take care of where we at locally. But if we can take over a neighborhood, I think we can take over a neighborhood in a sense of friendly. And I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done. I'm trying to do it. So I think we should start small, think small, start small, and grow big. We're not going to take over a city or a town. We can take over a neighborhood, and then from there we can spread out. What do you think about that?
I think that's. This business of thinking small and growing large. Again, when you African Americans, our spending is too large to start considering anything too small.
Hold on.
You asked me my opinion. Let me give it to you. Again,
I want to say something, brother. I'm not asking your opinion.
Again,
mute him.
Again, again, Selma, Alabama. Selma, Alabama have already been playing.
Can I have a word in?
Selma, Alabama have already been planned. So again, because of the planning that has already gone into this project, I say we need to stick to our plans. Now, if we want to go to plan B after Selma and say we should do this or we should do that, then fine. I would be more than interested in listening to it. But right now, we have a plan, and that plan has been planned now for over a year. In a couple more weeks, we want to implement our plan. So we don't want to change our plans right now because we want to say, well, maybe we should do something smaller. I say, no, let's stick to our plans. And if we can't implement our plans, then we can go to plan B or another plan. But once we have a plan, I say, let's try to do something with our plan. And in this case, it's been Selma, and it's been that way for over a year. And at this point, we all are be on our way to Selma in a couple more weeks. And so, again, I am saying meet us in Selma. And if Selma is not our answer, then we'll go to plan B. If it has to be smaller planning, bigger plan, and a larger plan. But right now, the plans are Selma.
All right. I'm not saying anything, but I thought it was a conversation. You say, listen, I want somebody to talk. I've been listening for over an hour. I just said one key thing. You want to listen to another voice, listen to you.
Again,
can I say something or not?
Again, our plans are Selma, and after Selma, if there is a plan B or if we have another plan, let's talk about it.
I'm not offering another plan. That's not what I'm saying. You asked for another voice. I'm just talking. I'm not offering another plan. I'm not trying to say, take another plan for the plan you're doing.
Again, our show is ending for tonight. Next week, we will be right back, and we'll welcome
you guys. Shut off.